Greetings and welcome to the Dynamics of Colorism with your host, Dr. Donna Maria Culbreth. You may call in to share your experiences, colorism, to pose a question, or just to give a general comment. You may do so by dialing area code 914-338-1308. And now, to begin our show, here's Dr. Culbreth. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Dynamics of Colorism for Thursday, July 31st, 2014. I'm your host, Dr. Donna Maria Culbreth, and I'm coming to you live from Maryland, as we do every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good evening, listeners. Tonight, Dr. John Kim and I are co-hosting a show titled Race, Culture, and Identity, Sitcoms and Stereotypes of People of Color. Good evening, Dr. John Kim. How are you?
I'm fine. It's great to be here to talk about this topic. I'm very excited.
This is a really interesting topic, and I'll tell everyone, the idea to talk about this came from Dr. John Kim. We were having a conversation, and a couple of weeks ago she sent me an email in which we were noticing issues with shows that are coming on television, especially for the fall of this year, and they're so stereotyped. And
right.
And here's the thing, Dr. John Kim, they believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this is their way of bringing diversity to their networks. Am I correct?
Correct. They have three new shows lined up on ABC, and, you know, one is supposed to be a portrayal of a black family, another one is an Asian family, and one is a Latino, Hispanic type of family, and this is their idea of bringing diversity to, you know, to the nighttime shows.
Well, you know what? I previewed some of their trailers for each one, and we'll talk about them a little later, but I found them to be have too many little racist issues with them, too many stereotypes, and I'm just thinking if this is their way of bringing diversity to ABC, then it's good that they're bringing shows about people of color, but we need to see less of the stereotypical racial undertones and some of the comments that are being made. I find in poor taste. I think if they're interested in bringing diversity, then let's do it the right way.
Right.
But before we even get in there, you know, let me ask you this: in your opinion, are there so-called, and I'm saying this in quotation marks, set standards in quotation marks of behavior for people of a color that's expected of them? So, for example, how does society label or expect people of color to act? Like if you're black, you're Asian or Latino?
Well, in society, but especially on TV, what we see is, remember, one of the things that comes to mind is, remember, Sanford and Son? And
yeah.
It showed, that was just like one example of like showing characters who were kind of like living in the ghetto. You know, they were like, they had the job of custodian or maid, very lower class, showed them as very uneducated, showed them as angry, sarcastic, unhappy kind of people. They were, you know, like the good times, remember, where the characters were more of like used to like poke fun at blacks. Like they were kind of like the clowns to make everyone laugh. Like they didn't really have brains. You know, the character of JJ was always being made fun of. But again, you know, they were shown in, you know, a ghetto kind of neighborhood. And, you know, for a lot of the population who are not black, this was the idea of, yeah, this is how blacks live, so this is a true portrayal. And it formed their perceptions of how blacks are because of these sitcoms.
Yeah, and the, you know, another one, too, you said the good times, even with the Jeffersons, you know, depicting a black man who made some money with his dry cleaning businesses, mm-hmm. and he just was just a jerk. And what And you know, also I wanted to say, the past couple of weeks, I started watching reruns of shows like 227, Different Strokes, which mm-hmm. I was never, What's Happening. Main one I wanted to talk about also was the one What's Happening with Raj, Rerun, and Dwayne. And what I noticed when I sat right. back, looking at it from a totally different perspective than what I did when I was younger, is that they're portraying, you know, Rerun as the overweight black guy who is basically not very smart, failing in high school. Then you had Dwayne, who was like the follower type. You had Raj, who was considered, I guess, the smarter one of the crew, who wasn't very smart. Mm-hmm. And then you had the mother, the big, heavy-set, overweight black woman, single mom, struggling to try and make it. Her son has to get a job to help take care of them. And when I was looking at all of them, they were so stereotyped as to what they believed represented, I guess, like you said, how black people were considered to be. And another show was Chico and the Man. Do you remember that show? Because I think...
I've never actually watched.
Okay, I barely remember it. But I remember Tony Orlando was on the show, and I think Eddie Albert. Another stereotype show. And the problem that I'm seeing is that when it comes to the media, and especially in television, is what does acting black, Asian, or even acting Latino really mean to the media and to these networks? You know, are they going through, I guess my biggest issue is, are people of color the one producing, are they producing these shows too? And are the people of color, what do you think?
Well, we know that in recent times, like Shonda Rhimes has been getting a lot of recognition for producing a lot of good shows that supposedly bring more diversity in the characters, and especially in the race issues. You know, we see that in Grey's Anatomy. And then she produced a new show with who are like a bunch of female characters. And yes, racially, they're all very diverse, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she's bringing in diversity issues. I mean, it's great that, you know, she as a black woman is finally able to come in and produce a show, because I don't think we have enough racially diverse people who have that kind of position. But is she really helping, or is she doing a disservice with the manner that she's bringing in diversity, because she's not breaking any of the stereotypes. You know, Grey's Anatomy, we have, you know, an Asian doctor. I mean, we do see black doctors in there. I think we even have, like, a Hispanic doctor who was a lesbian in there. But it's only coloring the screen, but not really bringing true diversity of characters in.
Exactly. I agree.
And what society needs is to break the stereotypes and bring more diversity of characters to show that, you know, races are not fit into set roles. Like, Asian people do not have to be, you know, the martial artist or the ones who are behind the counter of dry cleaners or Chinese restaurants. Blacks, they don't have to be seen only living in the ghetto. Hispanics, they don't have to be, like, you know, at the taco stand or, you know, uneducated. They can be leaders. They can be successful. I mean, that's what we want to see more of. And, you know, you and I had a lot of conversation about one show that we both liked that kind of portrayed, you know, blacks in a more positive light, The Cosby Show. And I grew up watching that as a kid, too, and I still have really good memories of, Bill Cosby in that show. And I have to admit, that was one that really was the first time that I actually saw, wow, blacks as educated characters. The mom and the dad are married. You know, the wife was a lawyer. The dad was a doctor who had a practice inside of his home. And another thing is, they were black. They were wealthy. The parents were successful. The kids had normal problems, and we were able to see them grow up. But one thing that they were definitely able to always bring in is, you know, if you saw scenes of the kids' rooms, or when Cleo went off to college, there were always, like, black, you know, he always wanted to go to a black college, and there were always, like, names of black colleges on his walls, like the flags of, like, Spelman and all those. And then I think for a birthday, you know, once they had the birthday party, I forgot whose birthday it was, but they actually recited and watched Martin Luther's, Martin Luther King's I Dream speech. And another thing that I really liked about that show that, you know, that really brought a path of light is the oldest daughter, if you remember, on the Cosby Show. I'm not remembering her name, Sandra, but she ended up naming the kids like Winnie and Mandela or Winnie and Nelson. And again, like just, you know, she was, her daughter was very educated, but she decided to give them very like black, you know, historical strong names. And I like that they were able to draw upon that and they didn't like try to, and I hate using this word, but whitewash it, which a lot of times when you watch these sitcoms that bring in race or diversity issues, the real light, it's kind of like washed out. The real light is not really brought in. They whitewash it a lot so that it'll be more popular in the sitcom ratings and the show can do better.
I'll tell you, you made a good point because I was a big fan of Living Single with Queen Latifah and that crew. I love that show. I mean, I still record and watch the reruns. And that show was going so well. And then they tried to, I think, do what they thought was right, bringing, making more diverse. Same thing with 227, same thing with What's Happening.
Uh-huh.
But when they put in the white characters, they just didn't fit with the flow of the characters or the show. And sooner or later, they all went off the air. And I actually stopped watching a lot of them once they did that because it wasn't really realistic for me looking at them. But getting back to the Cosby Show, and here's the thing, Dr. Mm-hmm. Duncan, growing up in my household, my dad was just like Bill Cosby was with his children. And there were always lessons to be learned. If you broke the rule, there were repercussions, there were punishments. You had to pay the piper. And we had like a real fun, loving family environment growing up. So with the Cosby Show, I could relate to that, and I absolutely loved that show. Now, when it was on, there were, and this is what I've heard because I don't recall anyone actually saying it to me, but others have told me that a lot of blacks criticized the Cosby Show as not being realistic to the lives of the average black person. And I remember when I heard that, I'm like, well, it is for me, because Cosby was positive and you didn't see racial stereotypes at all. It was rich with race, you know, I mean, with culture and the identity of each one of those children as well as the mom and dad. It was clear and they were set and comfortable in their identity. If you remember the Lisa Bonet character on the Cosby Show, you know, she went through her little changes and her little issues, but it was always set with a tone that they were all comfortable with their identity. And one of the concerns I had when I was looking at these previews of these shows we're going to talk about is that there are three issues, the race, culture, and identity were crucial because, as you know, with I Am Beautiful, we're seeing issues affecting girls of color, you know, browner skin girls that are racial, involve race, culture issues, and identity issues. And then when I turn around and you see sitcoms coming on in the millennium where these mm-hmm. same issues are being highlighted in a stereotypical way, then to me, it's a problem when I see black kids growing up with these severe identity issues. And I guess my other question is, are the cultures of each of these racial groups, like black, Latino, and Asian, are they being stereotyped in these new shows? And I think they are. And when we start talking about diversity, And this is where I think people lose it or they don't understand what diversity is about. Diversity is more than a network saying, okay, we have a show on about black people. We have a show that's focused on Asian people, and we have a show focusing on Latino people. Diversity means, you know, I think maybe they believe that's what's going to do it, but what people, I believe, are looking for or diversity, like you said earlier, in the characters, the storylines, the episodes each week. But when you start stereotyping them to such a degree that it becomes annoying. When I went through and I reviewed the trailers for each one of these shows, it's Blackish, what was the other show? Fresh off the boat. And the last one, let me find it, it is a Christella.
Yeah.
They were so stereotypical, and I saw a lot of identity issues in each show, each trailer that I watched. But like for the first one, Blackish, and for those of you who don't know about it, I'll give you a little preview, and this is in quote. It centers on an upper middle class black man who struggles to raise his children with a sense of cultural identity. This is what alleged the storyline reads. Despite constant contradictions and obstacles from his wife and his dad, who are played by Lawrence Fishburne, who plays as a father, and Tracy Ellis Ross plays the wife. Now, one of the big, before we even go into details talking about that show, I found all three of them, first of all, Dr. Jung Kim, all based on stereotypes. A lot of them have little racist views in them. They made me uncomfortable, and as I noted, these are shows you would expect to see airing in the 1970s, not in 2014. And I think the problem with them understanding diversity is that just because you have those three different racial groups represented as shows on your network, it's about the diversity that you bring to the characters and to the episodes. And when I'm seeing them and they're so racially stereotyped, like you noted earlier, this causes people, and we're going to talk about this later on in the show, but if you take someone who lives in the hills of West Virginia who's never been around a Latino person, an Asian person, or a black person, if they, by chance, would happen to look at any of these shows, their minds are going to condition, they're going to be conditioned to think, okay, this is how black people who have money act. This is how black people who don't have money act. This is how Asians act and Latinos act, all based on these stereotyped characters that they're seeing. If you remember, before we even go into talking about Blackish, remember the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Oh, yeah.
I
do remember that.
Have you
that.
Noticed how in their black characters that come from an affluent family or the families depicted as being wealthy, other than the Cosby Show, they're always depicted as embracing, like, values that are not really, would normally not be embraced by people of color. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hillary. Hillary, the daughter on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, she played the airheaded bimbo daughter, all consumed with just shopping. Then you had Jeffrey the Butler, was he British or something? And then you had Carlton, the son, and his character, the way that he acted. But I'm not saying that there is a set way to act black, because in my opinion, you just act the lingo for who you are, for your personality, your style. I don't think being black acts a certain way, nor do I believe being Asian, Latino, or any from any racial group means that you should act a certain way. It's just that when they portray black people as having money in these television shows, they depict them acting more like white than they do black. Does that make sense?
Right, yeah.
What
I also remember is, you know, the father, who was named Philip Banks, one thing that I felt like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air did correctly was there was this one episode that really, really made me think. And it was a tough issue, and I'm glad they brought it up, but the fact that the father, Philip Banks, was, in the show, it constantly showed him as this judge, but a very powerful judge that he was, like, well-respected. And there was an episode where Will and Carlton are arrested simply for the reason that they're driving a really nice car. And so I remember Philip Banks come to the jail and bails them out. And, like, it's confronted, and it shows that, you know, the reason that these two young men, they weren't doing anything wrong. It's just you know, the family, the Banks family, they were a wealthy family because Philip Banks was a judge. But the cop, you know, arrested them simply because they were driving a nice car, even though they are from a wealthy family. But that was one of the pivotal moments on the show where the episode really forced the viewers and even like Carlton, who, I mean, even though he was a black character, you saw him think there was something in his facial reaction and the way he acted that I think instead of showing him as this black man, boy, who was, I don't know, I hate to say this, but like acting more white because of the way he danced and the way he spoke, supposedly because he was so articulate. But I think it showed him for the first time on the episode having to confront the fact that, you know, the issue of race and law, you know, that, you know, he and his cousin, even though Carlton was very educated and he talked in a very educated manner to the cop, simply because there were two black men driving a nice car, they were arrested. And Philip Banks, like, comes and bails them out and talks to the cop. And, you know, I love that they address that issue, that, yes, this does happen. In society, you know, it does happen where there are crooked cops out there who will arrest you. And, you know, it doesn't just happen to, you know, black men who are not as wealthy, but it also happens to black men who do have the money to drive a nice car or nice clothes. And for the first time, it confronted the issue that, yes, this is what's happening in society. And it was not a laughing matter, even though that show was supposed to be a comedy. So I remember, I think I was like only in middle school when I saw the episode, but for the first time I was like, wow, that was really a tough subject to talk about, but they handled it very well. Not that every show that has people of different races, they have to tackle these tough issues, but I mean, it is an opportunity to open the minds of people who are not of the same race, who are watching that show and saying, hey, this is a real issue that, you know, we as a person of color have to go through in society. Like, there may be some things that are funny in here to you that are stereotypical, but let me show you some stuff that really happens in society to a person of color that's not so funny.
That's right. That's an excellent point. Although I'll tell you with, excuse me, looking at the show Black-ish and the trailer, did you get a chance to look at that?
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. This is what I picked up from it. The first thing I picked up is that, number one, it's in a sense unrealistic and it's insulting. Number two, I noticed the identity issue, where it's unrealistic for any black boy, regardless of where he is raised, to be so out of touch with his own racial identity, to want to have a bar mitzvah as a black kid. That's just over-the-top unrealistic. Because, and the reason being is because I have family members and friends who were raised living in affluent communities in New Jersey. And at no time, I mean, and you just don't see this in the real world. And for his son to say that he wants a bar mitzvah, I think it's an issue there where they're showing their parents didn't do what they were supposed to do to instill a strong identity in their children. I think that's number one. Number two, in the beginning of the trailer, it was so stereotyped when he's talking about who he is, and he's a successful black man with a beautiful home, nice family. They show his closet, his shoe closet, and he has all different color high-top sneakers in there. You know, that was just over the top. I found it being poor taste, so stereotyped. Then there's a conversation in the trailer that he's having with his wife, and it goes on to the effect he says something to her like, well, and I say this in quotes, and this is something coming from a mixed-race woman who isn't technically black. That's where I really drew the line, Dr. Jung Kim, because, again, yeah, we're going into the racial issues, and there are tons, millions of people who are mixed race, who have the right to identify themselves as black. You can identify any way you want to. But for him to say that you're not, technically you're not black, what is that supposed to mean? And how do you think people in society are going to view that comment when it comes to mixed race people?
Right. Yeah, no, and definitely one thing, I mean, even though the show has not aired yet, I mean, they're definitely glossing over a lot of issues and almost saying, you know, it's okay because we are a wealthy neighborhood. I mean, we are living in a wealthy neighborhood. The parents, I don't know what they do, but they are obviously successful. And yet they're, as you said earlier, you know, instead of the parents instilling these values of race and where did you come from and letting the children understand, it seems like, especially the mother from what I gather, and again, this is all based off the trailer, the mother seems like, it's okay. It's okay if they turn, are less black. And, you know, there's even, on one of the trailers I saw, the father shouts out and he's angry and he says, listen up, I'm going to need my family to be black, not blackish. And the wife just kind of shrugs it off and says, then why don't you take a black break and go get some white yogurt? And, you know, that's supposed to be funny.
That was not.
But
I didn't think it was funny at all. Did you?
Yeah, no. No, of course not. No, it's not funny at all. And but it's kind of like making an assumption. I mean, as a person of color, it does. Again, make me think about how when I was growing up, I felt like the only way that I could really fit in is if I become less of my race, less Asian. And I feel like this is what the show is kind of saying is, you know, so what's the big deal if you are black and you want to be less black? If you want to, you know, instead of being called Andre, you want to be called Andy. Which is one of the episodes that we see is going to be in the future for Blackish. You know, the son says to the father, I want to be called Andy. Can you call me Andy? And the father's like, your name is Andre. What's wrong with you? And the father kind of gets very angry. But it's kind of like, well, if you want to fit in, come on, people of color, then just let it go. Stop trying to be so black, Asian, Hispanic. Be more white. Blend in. There's nothing wrong with it. Forget about culture, traditions, and, you know, you need to be more what you are.
Right.
And the thing that I really hate is, you know, who are these writers? I want to know what race these writers are, that they cannot be more creative in their punchlines and their jokes, that they have to go lowbrow and use racial stereotypes to drive in humor. Like, it seems like there's a lack of creativity.
Right. And with us having the problem of race and color in this country, I think the last thing we need to see are shows that are like this. It's just like, there's one instance in the show where after the husband made the comment to her about being a mixed race woman, she turned around and said, well, if I'm not black, tell it to my hair and my butt. You know, again, I found that poor taste, ignorant, racially stereotypical, as if, you know, all black women have to have big butts, I'm assuming that's what they mean, and that all the hair texture has to be whatever our hair texture is supposed to be representing. But, and not all black people are built like that. Not all black women, and not all black women have hair like that. So I think, like you said, the writers are missing it. They believe in their minds, and this is how some people think, unfortunately, we're doing diversity. We have a show on television for once. It's not about a poor, struggling black family who's living in an inner city and they're poor, or they're not a broken home. In this instance, the family is successful. They're living in an affluent neighborhood. But then to really add insult to injury, they have a Hollywood tour bus go by, and the lady says, and I'm saying this in quotes, and on our left, a mythical and majestic black family. And that's where people have to be in tune, and you have to really be awake and listen to what's being said. What makes them mythical? And that's what did it for me.
Yep.
Why can't you say, oh, and first of all, why even having a tour bus go through a neighborhood and point out the black family? That's number one. Number two, that she said it's mythical. You know, my point, I'm like, well, what the heck does that mean? In other words, do you pick up on the mythical meaning that black people really don't live like this? This is a myth. Am I looking at that the wrong way?
No, I absolutely agree with you. The thing is, too, that I don't like about these new lineup shows, and using Blackish as an example, is, you know, you and I have talked about, like, you know, in society there's people who walk around and say, oh, you know, I'm colorblind. I see no color. And it's kind of like, I feel like what Blackish is kind of saying, or these shows are trying to say. Like, you know what? Yes, first of all, you as a person of color should be happy. We're bringing in diversity. See, we're bringing in three new shows with people of different races coming in as the lead character. So these are lead characters, so shut up and be happy. Secondly, they're kind of being like the people who walk around and say, I'm colorblind, where it's like, why don't you just watch the show and not put so much emphasis on color or cultural issues, but why don't you just look at the children and let them be who they are? Like, don't put so much emphasis on race and color issues. Like, if you are, then you're just being an angry person. You should just be happy that we have a lineup of three lead, you know, racial characters for this fall lineup. But we can't. We can't ignore. If you're going to put a person of color on the show, you know, there's a better way to portray it than to say, you know, stop looking at color, or to say, or to write it up to make fun and, you know, draw up like negative racial stereotyping. I mean, and this is not humor. This is not helping in any kind of way to reduce stereotyping. If anything, it's going to insinuate it, because people are going to think, oh, that's really the way it is, and I'm laughing about it. I'm not racist, but I'm laughing about it. I'm not saying or agreeing with it, but I'm laughing at it. I'm watching the show every week, but that doesn't make me racist.
Yeah, but, it's sad, because, like, if you look at the show Fresh Off the Boat, where it's about mm-hmm. Asian family, and they move, what does it say, they move to, I think, Atlanta from D.C., and I think it's what the trailer said. But here's the problem I found with that trailer review. First, there are a lot of stereotypes that are just unacceptable, culture issues, race, identity issues in the show. First of all, it's insulting because of the lack of diversity and inclusion in a positive way. And, like, going back to Blackish and to Fresh Off the Boat, my problem, Dr. John Kim, is that, like you noted also, they believe, here are people of color on show, but the writers are so out of touch with, I think, understanding what it means to have shows for people of color without having to make them fit into these stereotypical views. And what bothered me with Blackish is that they went to the other extreme. And it's so exaggerated and so ridiculous. I just thought it was, like, insulting. And in Fresh Off the Boat, they have the son in the beginning of the show in the trailer dressing up like a thug. He has the thick gold chain around his neck, you know, the cap off to the side of his head. Not a thug. I guess you say, let me correct myself. I guess you say, like, maybe trying to represent how black kids are dressed. They go from Atlanta, they move to Atlanta from D.C. Everybody knows that Atlanta is like Chocolate City. It's full of a lot of black people. So when the opening trailer comes on and they're showing this kid dressing like this, there's a scene where his mother asks him, why is he walking around with black men on his shirt? He goes into lunch. He opens up his lunch in the cafeteria, and all the white kids are like, ew, it looks like worms. As if white people don't eat Chinese food and they don't eat noodles. So that was so stereotypical there, showing an Asian boy eating noodles at lunch in school. You see what I mean? And it shows,
yeah.
And then with the white students, the white kids' reaction shows, again, the inability to embrace diversity or other cultures. And for all three of these shows, and we'll talk about the other show in the end, but to me it sends a message that it's saying to them, an indirect way that all of these characters, these people of color, are trying to be white, and they don't want to be the race that they are, because if they act like, I guess, who they really are, and that's not saying that race acts a certain way, then they're, like you said, they're afraid they're not going to fit in or be accepted. But the mother, they have the mother speaking this broken English. Then the kid in one scene says, "I need white people lunch." And they don't understand. The writers are not getting this, Dr. Jung Kim. "I need white people lunch." Well, what the hell is white people lunch? You know, what is it that white people eat? What is it that black people eat or Asian people eat? We all eat food. And because he took a cultural dish to lunch and the kids reacted that way, so he comes home, he goes, "I need to eat white people food." That was another concern. Then they were in you don't need to go to the store, the mother with the kids, and she says to them, "If you get lost, join a white family. You'll be safe with them." Then there's one scene where it has that little Asian boy with the black guy, the black kid, and the black boy says to the Asian kid, "You're on the bottom now. It's my turn." Again, depicting blacks and Asians as if they don't get along, or having the black kid saying so many words, "I've been on the bottom for so long. Now you're the new minority, a kid of color here, so now you're on the bottom rung, and I move up on that rung as being, you know, being accepted." And I think that Asian people should be insulted by how stereotyped this show is.
I think it's, I mean, when I first heard the name of Fresh Off the Boat, I was instantly insulted. I mean, and I tried not to be guarded with my opinion, and I really tried to have an open perspective to the show, but Fresh Off the Boat has always meant, even when I was a young child, if someone said, "Oh, you're fresh off the boat," or they would give the acronym of, like, FOB, that was a huge insult. To anyone hearing that, if you were an Asian, you were instantly insulted, but that meant that you were, you know, really awkward, that you spoke with the accent, that you liked too many Asian things, or you seemed too Asian, and therefore, you know, you would not fit in as you should have with the, you know, with in America or in school. And shows like this, Fresh Off the Boat, or, you know, Blackish, what it does is, what they have to realize, the writers have to realize, and the directors and producers, is that, you know, you can't make fun of cultural customs and make it into something funny, or you can't make fun of the food that they eat because it's exotic and then make that into a joke. You know, because that, if anything, what happens is the people of that race that you're making fun of, it makes them feel very alienated. And, you know, instead of the jokes showing any kind of empathy or understanding, it brings greater alienation to the person. So I think what the writers need to think of is they need to be more creative and intelligent and meaningful when they decide to develop a certain character. Because I think they're being oversimplified and bringing in such negative stereotypes that it's only going to hurt the race that they're talking to. And another thing, too, that I really don't like is, you know, Fresh Off the Boat, obviously it means these people are trying to assimilate into America. And you know what? When I think of people who are coming here into America, moving here, trying to have a better life or trying to get a better education, instead of showing some understanding and sympathy that this is a difficult process that's multi-layered, to poke fun at someone who's trying to understand, be part of the American culture, it's not funny. So I think, I hope that everyone who watches the show will not take it as a comedy thing where there's these funny characters, but these are real people. These are real people of any race who come to America who are, you know, very challenged, having a lot of conflicts of understanding, you know, who they were in this country versus now here in America. And one-liners are not going to help in any kind of way to bring healing or understanding or to help the process or, you know, of getting accustomed to American life. So I hope that anyone watching the show will have more open eyes to it instead of just thinking this is a humorous thing. And, you know, about 20 years ago, there was a similar Asian show called All American Girl with the comedian Margaret Cho. And, you know, she had the Asian stereotypes of the mother and the parents having these thick Asian accents. And Margaret Cho was this girl called the All American Girl, but she just wanted to be an American girl who fit into society. But there were such heavy stereotypes of Asians that, you know, a lot of people were in uproar about it, saying, like, this is insulting. And unfortunately, I think the show only ran for one season and then was canceled. So it makes me kind of think, like, were these sitcoms made thinking, oh, well, see, we did our job. We're trying to be more diverse. Yeah, we're the ABC company, but you know what? We know that it'll only last one season. It won't last. I don't know. Am I being negative? I don't know.
I don't think that any of them are going to last. A lot of people were saying that Blackish won't last through the season. Because it's just. And here's my point, Dr. Duncan. I would like to see this, and this is how we show that society is growing, and that we're truly, truly embracing diversity in this country. You know, why not have a show? You know, let's just say your family, for example. Your husband's a lawyer. You're a college professor. You have your children. Why not depict an Asian family like that? You see what I mean? And have this Asian family without stereotyping you with sitting down eating a bowl of noodles. That is what we need to see. We need to see a black family where they have a mom and it's somewhat like what the Cosby Show was. Same thing with the Latino family. Let's see a Latino woman be a top attorney, you know, attorney that kicks tail or doctor. But one thing with that show, Cristela, that bothered me, I was concerned about, is that they said in a trailer that she has big dreams that are impossible to everyone but her. So as a Latino woman, she shouldn't have these big dreams of being something big in life. She was also mistaken as being the cleaning woman in one scene in the trailer. Where something, and I turned it off because at that point in time, I was like, wow, this is interesting. Because of both your passion and my passion for making sure that people of color are viewed and embraced, treated equally across the board in this country, I said to myself, wow, it's amazing. They really think that they're doing something, but what they're doing, I think they're causing more harm than they are doing good with these shows. So, and then it's another scene where it's something about her asking to be validated, to be accepted, where the mother feels she's going to be embarrassed by her when she makes it and she's successful, because I guess the mother's not educated, which is, again, another stereotypical view of people of color's parents, where your children become successful and make it, and it's always that alleged stereotype that the child isn't the kid of color is embarrassed by their mom or dad when they have to introduce them to their friends or coworkers or anything. So, I mean, the stereotypes, I think, set us back. I don't think they do anything to enhance, increase, or focus in on embracing everybody in this country for coming here and being able to live what they consider the American dream. It's like we're saying, you're here. But, and it was all three shows, think about it, Black, Asian, Latino, with all three shows, in each show they're basically saying that all these people of color are striving or want to be white more than they want to be the race that they are. If you get a chance and you look at the trailers, let me know if you see that. That's what I picked up from them, too.
The thing is, too, like, you know, I can't help thinking, too, that, you know, shows like this are being created. But what we are also fighting for, you know, as people of color is, yes, we want diversity, but we also want people of color who are, you know, actors or in the field of arts to have better roles, you know, not roles where they are stereotyped, but roles where they are, not in those stereotypical positions of, you know, being someone fresh off the boat or, you know, a gang member or, you know, we want positive role model shows that show real people of color in roles that, you know, we see every day. You know, they can be doctors, they can be lawyers, they can be professors, you know, they can be stay-at-home moms, but, like, let's not stick them in a role and say, like, this is the only thing that you can be as an actor or actress in these roles. Let's create better roles for them and, you know, show that really reflects what our society is like, what real Asians, Hispanic, Blacks are like in society, what kind of positions and roles that they hold in our society. So I kind of also, my heart went out to, they can't have better roles, but they have to, well, if you want to act and you want to be on TV or you want to be on stage, well, you have to take roles that are self-deprecating. They're stereotypical. It's too bad.
And it's sad because I think the problem here is that the diversity approach they're taking, they're going about the wrong way. And I don't care if what race the producer is. I don't think they get it. I think that they're just thinking, we're putting people of color here. And in doing so, I think that they're just as bad as not having people of color on shows. In other words, like Dr. Junkin, what would be wrong with seeing a show, it could be even a sitcom, that includes a diverse group of characters, Asian, Black, Latino, Indian, Dominican, all racial groups, showing the browner, darker complexion people of these racial groups. Because if you notice with Latino families, other than George Lopez, they only show Latino families or Hispanic families that are lighter complexion. You very rarely see a darker complexion Hispanic family, Latino family represented in any show. So what I would like to see where we would show true diversity is have people, you know, real people of color. I mean, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, real people of color living real lives and not like, I'm forgetting the name of the actress, but, you know, the wife of the father in Modern Family where she's like, you know, sure, just as a sex symbol, a younger second wife. Yeah, with a heavy, heavy accent who always misunderstands things because of her, you know, understanding of the English language. I mean, that's a stereotypical role. I mean, you see those kind of positions in, you know, the dramas on TV, like the Hispanic-Mexican dramas. Like, and so she fits that role, and now they say, oh, this is really funny. You see these kind of characters on the Mexican Hispanic channel. So let's bring this soap opera kind of character who's the big breasts, heavy accent, very dramatic, and bring her on and let's poke fun at the way she speaks and make her a very big sex symbol. And, you know, and I mean, she's not dumb, but they don't exactly show her as having that much brains, whereas her son is very intelligent, very articulate. But yet at the same time, it's kind of known, even though they don't call him that he's socially awkward, that he's a little bit nerdy, he's kind of weird. And, you know, why is it that these people, you know, people of race have to be the weirdos, the ones that kind of poke fun at, that have the one-liners that, you know, you can laugh at and not feel, again, like you're a racist? You know, like, why? Why not give them positive roles, like lead characters where they're smart, intelligent, and, you know, they're someone that you can look up to. I don't know.
Let me ask you this. With the way they're depicting these shows are coming out, I mean, do you think in your gut opinion, I mean, is it obvious that they, A, don't know how to embrace diversity, or B, is it the typical old good old boy stereotype or racist view of people of color? What do you think it is? Or do you think it's a little bit of both?
I think
I was wondering, I'm
think
like, wow.
As much as even though we've come a long way in society, it's like we've taken, I don't know, like say 10 steps forward, but within those 10 steps, we've also taken 9 steps backwards. So, you know, we should at this time of 2014 have better roles, better positions, better shows that really reflect our society of diversity, but unfortunately we don't. And when we do, you know, we're kind of told in a way like, just shut up. Look at the shows we're bringing on. You should be happy, even though they're very offensive. Like, you know, when I first heard the name of the show, Fresh Off the Boat, I was very offended because that's a name that was not looked upon very favorably when I grew up. It was actually an insult. So why call it that name? Like, why couldn't you have thought of a better name? I mean, because there's so many other words that you could have called it. And why make fun of someone's, like, struggle to come here to America? Like, and why do you have to make it a joke? So I think we still have a long way to go. But I see a lot of effort by a lot of people who are bringing up the topic that more diversity needs to be shown on TV and media, more stronger characters who are not stereotypical. I see that. There's a lot of discussion, but it's not moving fast enough. The change is not happening fast enough that there's still a lot of stereotypes and a lot of growth that needs to happen.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. And I think also with these sitcoms that are coming out, all three of them, when it comes to people of color and a reality check for themselves, my view is that, you know, I know they may be happy to see that there's shows about their racial group, but I don't necessarily think they should be so happy to see sitcoms that are stereotyped like these are. And if they are happy, do you think it's because they're so conditioned or accustomed to being stereotyped in the media that it's acceptable to them? Because I was just wondering,
do you think I think we're expected as people of color to say, oh, thank you. I'm so happy that when I turn on the TV, like starting this fall, I'm going to see someone that looks like me. And I'm so thankful that these people are not sidekicks, but they're real characters like me who are, you know, trying to live their life, going through issues of growing up or understanding who they are, understanding their identity. So I think the attitude that they, as the writers or producers, want us to have as people of color is, thank you. Thank you for listening to me, but they're missing the big issue. Like, yes, we want to be able to turn on the TV or open up a magazine and see faces that look like us, people that look like us, but at the same time, we don't want them in the stereotyped characters.
Yeah, and you know what?
Place us in a box.
Right. Something else I just thought about was the show Blackish. Why couldn't they portray, and this is another issue when it comes to how dark a complexion women are being portrayed on television and the media, why couldn't they have him be married to a darker complexion woman? Do you see my point? They put a black man with a mixed race woman. They don't put him with a darker complexion black woman. And then in all three of the shows, all of the characters are the lightest that they could possibly get, except with Anderson, of course, and Blackish. But you don't see people of color of real nice, deep brown and chocolate and dark complexions in any of these shows. Even with the Asian family, the skin is very fair. The Latino family is very...
And they have so, big eyes. Yeah, so
right.
It's
exactly.
It's a... black that people want to see. We don't want to see the dark-skinned people. We don't want to see hair that's too nappy. We don't want to see Asians that have little slits of eyes. Like, even though they're supposed to reflect us, we want to see them prettier, or what the idea of society's prettier would look like, more acceptable. We don't want to see thugs. We don't see you know, ugly Asians with flat noses. We want to see the big-eyed ones with the whiter skin. We want to see the pretty ones that we will not feel offended by.
And you know what?
Because that will keep us watching the show.
And you know what bothers me is that it's so, there's so much colorism there, and whether it's conscious or unconscious, mm-hmm. I saw that instantly because I pick up on this stuff. I mean, the colorism was obvious where there's no brown or darker skin. It's like, for example, anytime it's a Latino family on television or in a show other than George Lopez, as I noted before, they're Latinos who they're not being equally represented when it comes to the darker complexions. Same thing with Asians, same thing with blacks. So again, my concern is because I want to see, we need to see, with America becoming more and more brown, becoming a browner America, we need to see people that look like people, reality, you know, real people on the show. And again, the fact that they're having these shows of people of color, to me that's not good enough. They could do better, much better, because what they fail to understand is that they keep going back to, again, the European standards of beauty, of what is considered acceptable, what is considered pretty, like you said, and attractive, and as close to whiteness if they can get it to go, but still remain within the boundaries of that particular racial group. That's what I see also. Is that too far-fetched of a thought?
No, not at all.
So, I mean, I just see those... Go ahead.
Go on.
No, go ahead.
No, and I think in some way too, the writers and producers just want us people of color to say, you know what? Thank you for having these faces on, these colorful faces on. Because if you remember another show that was really popular when I was growing up was that show Friends, and you know it was a funny show. They didn't really have like. Racial humor in there. But you know what? A show that was long-running, I think it ran for like 10 years and it was popular all the way to the end. How is it, Dr. Colberth, that a show like that, that runs for 10 years and is popular, did not have even one black neighbor, one black friend on the show? I didn't see any Hispanic people, I didn't see any Asian people, none. So how is it that they walk around New York and they never run into a person of color?
You know what? You're right. And here's the thing, and it was a popular show, but you know why? Because I think, again, it goes back to catering to what they, you know, to, again, the old good old boy, you know, it's all right, so it's good, and it's going to be popular. But here's something else. Do you remember the show? I think I've watched maybe two or three episodes because I wasn't a fan of it. It was called Girlfriends. It was a group of black women. Mm-hmm. Tracy Ellis Ross was in it also. And I just hated the way those women in that show were depicted. As I remember one episode where one woman was always a desperado or such, like, serious issues. It was annoying. But what I would like to see, Dr. Jung Kim, is a show come on television, whether it's all black, all Asian, all Latino, and cast these characters in a normal, everyday life without having to bring in race. See, that's the problem in this country. People can't sit down and have a conversation and bring the racial groups together. They can't come together in racial unity. I would just say, hey, instead of saying, that's Dr. Jung Kim, she's Asian, there's Dr. Culver, she's black. Why can't it just be, that's Dr. Jung Kim and that's Dr. Culver? Why can't we see shows on television that instead of having to make them so stereotyped, and like, for example, I have yet to find other than The Cosby Show, and I'm not really a television person, so there may be shows that I may have missed, so forgive me, but I have yet to find a show depicting black characters that I really like because they're being depicted in a positive light. Or just depicting them as normal. In other words, the same type of issues that you saw like in Friends. Why can't we see a show that is about a group of black people or Asian people or Latino? Or better yet, why not have them be a mixed group of people who are all friends and the race issue never pops up into it? See, we're going to continue to have race problems in this country and skin color problems in this country until we learn to embrace and accept people and focus more on inclusion. And when I say inclusion, I mean inclusion from the standpoint that there are people of color in a show, and you never, ever have to deal with, oh, black guys from the hood of the ghetto, or the black girl is loud and crazed for sex, or the Asian lady, all she wants to do is just cook noodles or you know, run some type of hair, nail salon, or the Latino people, like you said, at the taco stand. Why can't we just show them as being people living in America? That's my point. And it seems like the message being sent, which is a very strong message, and this is why people need to wake up and realize what they're looking at on television, the message is still being sent that it is still that you're still underneath us, or we will never embrace you embracing living here and being like a regular, everyday, normal person. And I think as long as we keep seeing this nonsense, we're going to continue to have race problems, because it's like we noted earlier, you take the person from the hills in West Virginia, wherever they could be from, who are not accustomed to being around people of color. Now, we all know the likelihood of them watching these shows is probably slim, but if they did, you know, and they think, okay, all Latinos, all Asians, all blacks act like this, especially when blacks have money. It goes back to showing a black man, again, you go back to the Jeffersons, and then you come up to this new show, Blackish. It shows a black man with money. He has money, but he's kind of like ignorant and uncouth. Whereas I'd rather them show a black man who's successful. You know, just like in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the show was funny. There were some episodes or some, the lifestyle was a little bit unrealistic, but it was a good show. And the point that I'm trying to make is that I want to see shows about people of color that show us in an ordinary, everyday lifestyle and without having to bring in our race and always use these stereotypes for the race. That's my point. Like, they can't even bring in race. Let me correct myself. I don't care about them bringing in the race, but let's stop stereotyping racial groups in television shows, because the way this country's become so diverse, I think that these three shows aren't even really realistic, considering the demographics in society that we see today. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And you know, like, we can name show after show after show that just, you know, again, there's people of different races on the show, but it's still like it brings in so many awful, terrible stereotypes. Like, one of my friends, like, she's a therapist, and she told me, oh, there's this really good show that you should watch that has people of different races in there. And she told me the name of the show. It's like, and I know it's, like, really popular right now. It's, like, called Orange is the New Black. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of that, but what is that about?
So essentially, it's this this woman who is white, whose name is Piper, and she lived a very very nice, wealthy kind of lifestyle, but in college she made one bad decision of deciding to do to not sell drugs but deliver drugs in a package, and then, you know, eventually they find out it was her. And even though, you know, she has always lived a very nice life, like during college and when she got in the workforce, she ends up having to serve time. So this is her story, Piper, the white woman's view of prison life. And of course, there's black women in there, there's Latina in there, there's Asian women in there. But unfortunately, what you see is, I think, looking at the show, if somebody who came up with the show of Orange is the New Black and said, oh, this is about a diverse group of women who are, you know, of different races coming into prison and talking about prison culture, I don't think that would have sold. But But then I think the way that they got the show to be launched is, oh, well, it's about a white woman who happens to get locked up into prison and then sees, you know, understands life of prison culture. And, of course, there's a lot of black women in there. But one thing that I remember I saw in the show was that the way that they, again, bring in stereotypes is there's this one episode, or there's many episodes where the black women are fantasizing about eating fried chicken. I mean, and when some of these women are being referred to, they're called things like monkeys, crazy eyes, and there's even like a mother, and I forgot what race she is, but a mother who tells her daughter, so a mother and daughter are both in prison, and the mother tells her daughter, well, the way to get things is, you know, and she's telling this to her daughter, the way to get things is, you know, bring on your sex appeal and get the attention of the white guard. She's a woman of color, and she's telling her daughter, you know, to live a better life, use your sex appeal to get the attention of a white guard. And again, it shows like, you know, a bunch of Latinas who are just crazy, you know, they're taking pictures of their body parts. And, you know, this is supposed to be the true example of prison life. But again, it's from a white woman's perspective. And, you know, what you learn in there is, like, even though this woman, Piper, is very educated and she's read about stuff like this, what happens is she goes into prison and she understands that books about people of different races, like, she was never taught this. So it's like, so again, this, again, it's from her perspective of, like, understanding life and people of different color. But the thing that really kills me on the show is that she's in there, she's done the crime, no crime is worse or better than another. You know, you're in there serving crime, so, but yet this woman, Piper, she is given so much white privilege to just roam around. And it's kind of like, again, what I don't like is, it's like we see her as, oh, poor her, she's a white woman going through this. And poor her, oh, trying to understand these women of color. Poor her. You know, and so it's just that kind of light on the show. And so that's why there's been a lot of, like, negative talk about it. Like, oh, yeah, it's, again, there's people of color, there's women of color in there, so we should be happy. But, again, it's not breaking down any kind of stereotypes. And if anything, it's the ideas and the perspective are all from this white woman named Piper, of what she sees, of women of color. And it just goes to show that these are the type of shows that we're continually seeing on TV. And some of them are really popular, but it's not breaking down any kind of stereotype, anything. It's continuing to show these stereotypical characters, women, you know, women who are thinking about, black women who are fantasizing about fried chicken and watermelon, and they're crazy, and, you know, an Asian woman that doesn't really talk much. And so when are we going to show women not women as typecast, but women who are real, who can hold different dimensional roles? And that's what we want to see when we say we want diversity.
Well, here's the problem I have. Why do they name it Orange is the New Black?
Because, you know, she goes to prison and the outfit she has to wear is orange.
But why are they saying it's the New Black, as in black meaning what?
You know, actually, I don't know that question. I haven't watched the show enough.
Fashion.
I think what they mean by it, and yeah, that's a good question. But you know how they always say, like in fashion, black is the new in color. So that's why they're saying orange is the new black. Like it's the in fashion color.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what they meant. But I just think, let me ask you this. You know, what do these networks need to do to incorporate people of color and diversity without stereotyping? Or here's a bigger question. Can they even do that, or would they be willing to do it? You know, incorporate people of color in your networks or in your shows. But, you know, bring a little bit more diversity. Like, we don't have to see the typical stereotypical Latino, Asian, or black person. I want to see them cast in realistic light, Can these networks do that without stereotyping?
I think honestly, from their perspective, they don't want to.
Because that would make
people of color real. And that would be very boring for them. It's much more fun to make fun of people of color and put stereotypes at them and say, I'm not racist, but let's give them good one-liners and poke jokes at them. I think if they were to do that, it would make people of color seem almost real, and that would be terrible. I feel like also being able to make these one-line jokes, racial jokes, it makes people actually feel a little bit, and I hate to say this, but comfortable. Well, I can laugh at it, so it's okay to laugh at it, but it's not okay to laugh at it. And in fact, it makes me furious to think that, it's not helping the stereotypes. It brings more negative perceived stereotypes into people of different races. And, and we need to move away from that because it's damaging.
It puts
people in boxes.
I think is the fact that we see these three shows coming on, is it a sign that they just don't get it? They don't understand how to incorporate diversity, inclusion into the network? Or, like you said, they want it to be this way for a purpose, for a reason? It's, kind of... and another thing, let me ask you this, and I was wondering also, is this a sign that they don't know how to embrace diversity? Was it somebody's failed attempt at, like you said, poking fun of these racial groups? So, there's so many different views, but like you said, I believe also this is how they want them to be viewed by people in society. Let me ask you this. When it comes to racial healing and racial unity, will it, with the shows, these three particular shows, and, this may be a bit far-fetched, just based on these three shows alone, are they bringing us closer to racial healing and racial unity, or are they taking us in the opposite direction? What do you think?
From what I understand, even from the reviews, when I looked at these three shows and I looked at, what's being written about them, it seems like, everyone's in agreement that the intent was to bring more understanding of different races and cultures and to break down stereotypes. But the fact that they are... making fun of someone's efforts to come to America, the fact that they're calling a show Fresh Off the Boat, I don't think they did as much thinking as they should have. And those shows have not aired yet, but I can't see it running for a full season. I see it being canceled because, I don't feel like people are ready to see authentic perspectives of people of color. I think there's still a lot of discomfort at it. And I think, even though these are supposed to be comedies, I think people feel good and better and relieved. They feel a sense of relief to be like, oh, I'm laughing at this racial joke of someone's accent because it's okay because this is a comedy. And so I think it brings relief to people who are not people of color. It gives them, the freedom to laugh, but no, it's hurting people of color, and we need to, not ignore that. We need to face it full on and say, it's hurting, it's hurting people of color, it's hurting girls, it's hurting children who are growing up trying to understand who they are, and
right.
We need to bring in real type characters, not the ones who are stereotyped, not showing black people who just go to jail, who like fried chicken and watermelon, Asian people with the heavy accents, and poking fun at them, trying to live the American dream. I mean, hopefully these writers will be able to realize, oh my gosh, you know, I'm doing a disservice to people of color, and change it. But I can't see it because I think we're still at a point where other people feel comfortable and don't want to see these real people of color in real roles. Like it's they're not ready. It's not comforting, and it's boring to see that on TV. Nobody wants to watch that, is what the belief is.
That's true. Good point. I think that with the fact that we see, and this is another point to bring in here, which is interesting, when we see the increase in color-based claims with the EEOC, I also think that a lot of the problems that are dealt with in the work environment comes from watching like shows like these that are coming on, where people think it's okay to look at these shows on television, laugh about them, go to work the next day, and use one of those stereotypes, which are negative, to insult a person of color. And this is where, because with a study I did, an article that's going to be published in the Journal of Colorism Studies that I wrote, there's a lot of people, and I can't remember the numbers exactly, had noted that there was a lack of diversity training in the work environment. We also see an increase in color claims, you know, colorism claims in the work environment. So when you, to me, in my opinion, this could possibly be a contributing factor to seeing an increase in these claims because people think it's okay because it's on television. And I remember one time when I handled a case with a young lady who made some racially insensitive comments in the work environment, she said that she saw it on television and didn't see anything wrong with it because they did it on TV. I mean, what do you think about that? Is that kind of far-fetched?
No, I agree with you. And sadly, you know, what as a person of color, as a woman of color, I mean, I want to see, and especially since I have children, I want to see, you know, when I turn on the TV at nighttime, even though I don't watch a lot of TV at all, but when I do have the chance to watch TV, I want to be able to turn it on and see a positive reflection of the world that contains people of different races who get along and people of different races who can be leaders of a large corporation. You know, not just black people who are rap artists or football players or Asian people who are working at a Chinese restaurant. But I want to see exactly what I see in the world and society that I live in, just a mix and array of people of all colors who are all in different roles, not just in these set box roles. And I really hope that, you know, maybe this season or next season, that there will be real thought behind the shows that they decide to bring in.
I agree.
They're positive. I mean, my kids don't watch nighttime TV, but definitely, like, right now there are not shows that really show other Asians or people of color on there who are intelligent and articulate, who are not, like, you know, and I don't want to say losers because they're living at home, but, you know, but who
are
able to, yeah, be educated and hold the leadership roles, high positions. That's what I want to see.
Me too. That's
so hopefully, you know, that can happen. Yeah.
I think that we can get there. I think if enough people really start talking more about it, you know, because these shows, to me, perpetuate and they enforce the race and color lines, and we can do better than this. And I just think that living in the millennium, it's 2014, even though we're still dealing with a lot of race and color issues in society. I talked to a young lady earlier who was working with me in the Colorism Project, and she noted that people generally are uncomfortable when they have to deal with race and color issues. And I believe that it's easier for them to use these stereotypes and divine I think it was, I can't remember the year, 1998, where Divine has this theory of socially activated stereotypes. And in that theory, it was a focus in there that people really are more comfortable relying on their stereotypes that they have about a certain racial group. And I think what happened with these writers for these new sitcoms, this is what happened. They're comfortable relying on their stereotypes that they have of these racial groups to produce a script. And it's because they're comfortable with it. It's okay for, they're okay with them or for them. So I like yourself, I do want to see people of color in a positive light. And here's the thing, Dr. Jung Kim, these could also be comedies. They could be funny. But you throw humor in there. But let's stop always trying to depict people of color in a negative, stereotypical fashion. And likewise, I don't think that they'll last the season. If they do, I'll be very surprised. I just think more and more as society continues to go on and on, we would expect to see less, we wouldn't expect to see shows like this. That's my point, I guess. We would expect to see shows that are embracing diversity. One show that comes on television, which I realized today, is a show called Community, about students at a community college. There's one particular character in the show who's a heavyset black woman who's very religious. And everything, you know, that goes on in the show, she has to bring religion into it. It's a very stereotypical show in a sense. There's an old white guy in the show who's allegedly racist or bigot. But I think the problem that we're seeing, which I think that the media helps continue the cycle of racism and colorism. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I know, not that shows are supposed to be your classroom where it's supposed to make you think, but I wish that, the shows had more of a universal appeal to people of color, the writers made it in such a way, I mean, even though it's a comedy, but really made people aware by looking at the characters on the show and the way they act and the way they think, the things that they say, to make people kind of acknowledge and think like, oh, what are my views on this? You know, if I see is an Islamic person on the show who's wearing a scarf, do I think they're part of the Taliban? Like, and even though it's a comedy, there is a way for writers to be able to do that, to say, have in a way that it makes the viewer say to themselves, okay, do I need to change my attitude about this? Well, this gives me a different perspective about a black family that's successful. Have I had stereotypes about this, like that only black people are only good at basketball or football? Like, what are my views on this? And I mean, if we can have more shows like that, that would make people get rid of their stereotypes or show that, you know, black people who have dark skin are beautiful, that, you know, we're not just going to showcase on TV the lighter skinned people or the Asian people who have big eyelids, that there are, you know, all different colors of black people, all different colors of Asians, Hispanic, like, and this is where our society is like, and we accept it, that not everyone has to look a certain way, airbrushed, or, you know, be able to look so good that you can be on a magazine cover, then I think it will change a lot of opinion and hopefully make people more open-minded and break down any kind of prejudice that exists within those individuals. And I think we need to have more of that thinking, more of those kind of conversations, people having a heart-to-heart with themselves and with, you know, their friends to say, oh, what is my thinking? Maybe this is wrong. Maybe, you know, these shows will open my eyes to what really is happening, the people that exist in the world in front of me. Because if you don't have that understanding, you're going to have some major problems when you go to school, when you go into the workforce, if you're just assuming, oh, that person next to me, oh, my goodness, it's summertime. I wonder if, you know, he or she is going to start eating watermelon. Or, you know, like, and but that is a big stereotype that even to this day when I'm talking to my students, like, they think black people don't eat any other fruit but watermelon. And black people, you know, they only eat fried chicken.
I know.
And they never turn down watermelon fried chicken. And that's firmly what they believe. And where they get that from? Well, on TV.
Stereotype, exactly. Exactly. And it's sad because I think as long as we can continue to see these little, and I consider a lot of them, Dr. John Kim, negative in a sense, but we keep seeing these stereotypes. How are we ever going to get to the point where inclusion or embracing people, and, you know, and here's something else, too. I had a conversation with someone earlier today, and we were talking about diversity, and he said to me that he was insulted because his human resource director in a training session said to them, when it comes to diversity, that they have to be tolerant of other people. And he said the same thing, like, I've heard a lot of people say, I don't want you to tolerate me. He doesn't want to be tolerated because that's even more insulting. Mm-hmm. And when you see shows like the show that we were just talking about, again, it goes back to that, okay, are they putting these shows on because they have to? They know that they have to do this? Are they tolerating the demand? And in doing so, they're coming up with these ridiculous sitcoms. And or is it that they really think they're doing the right thing? Because I can't possibly embrace the latter, that they think they're doing the right thing. I really can't embrace that thought. Because it's just like this isn't rocket science. You know that we live in a society that's still plagued by racism and colorism and stereotypes of people of color. So how could a producer even think about putting together a show like this unless, like you said, it's like I can poke fun at these people and laugh. But that does. But I'm not a racist because I'm laughing at them. So I guess it's even though we've come a long way, we still have a long way to go with understanding and knowing what should be acceptable and what's not. But then again, it also goes back to the audience that they're trying to gear these shows to, or the crowd that they're trying to please or appease. I don't think their ratings will go up with them. What do you think?
No, I don't at all. And the thing is, too, like, what I think about is, like, I understand that, you know, a lot of people use television at the end of the day as a time to relax. And not, you know, and all day long they've been thinking at work or at school. So when they turn on the TV, it's a time to relax. And they want to be entertained. They want to turn off their thinking. They just want to laugh and be entertained. But, you know, it's one thing to entertain someone, and I think that's the role of an actor or actress, really, that they are able to entertain and, you know, make the viewer really feel the emotions of what, you know, they're acting. But at the same time, like, if you're bringing these shows with diverse characters in and you think, well, I'm just entertaining, you know, the viewer, so don't take everything I say so heavily and dissect it that it's like stereotyping or racist. Just, these shows are just to entertain. And, you know, that's an easy answer to say, that these shows are on, be happy, showing diversity, and they're just here to entertain. Unfortunately, you know, what you're forgetting is when you're portraying a black actor in a certain way, and you're bringing in race issues, you know, it's, you have to think about the way that you're portraying the person. If it's hurtful to that person, a person of race, then you need to really think about it. You need to really consider, you know, am I harming even though I'm writing and trying to entertain, or am I helping? Because, you know, we don't need more stereotypical characters. We need to see more progressive thinking, progressive acting, progressive roles for people who are not typecasted or put in boxes. You know, and I mean, come on, we look at TV and there are so many great roles that people of color can be in. So why develop shows that poke fun, or why give shows a name that is hurtful, like Fresh Off the Boat? We can be more creative, and, you know, we can entertain, but at the same time, we don't have to be harming in any kind of way. We don't have to be colorblind in any kind of way. You know, so we have to think about what we're producing and what we're watching, and, you know, really, if needed, comment. I think we need to speak up as people of color and say, this is wrong, and not just take it and say, oh, well, you know, it's going to be canceled. I think we need to write into, you know, ABC or CBS, whoever's doing a show, and speak up on Twitter and just really give our voice and say, this is wrong, and these are the reasons why this is wrong.
I agree. I think you're right. I plan to do that because, you know, and then maybe, hopefully, they'll be able to see that and understand it, because right now I think that they're so, I just think it's a sign of the out of touch with me, with the mainstream, with people in society. I don't think they understand that they, to me, in my opinion, at least, are doing more harm than good. And it's like I explained to the young lady earlier, it's not anything to get angry about. It's an issue to be concerned about, because if you're passionate about trying to bring about change, then, you know, you need to write to people, you need to talk to them and let them know this is a concern. And, you know, perhaps the light bulb will go off in somebody's head who's writing the script, and they'll say, maybe we need to change our approach and come up with a different idea. I mean, what the heck, I'll send them a storyline if they want me to. But all I'm saying is I would just like to see people of color, of representing brown and darker skin colors, represented, you know, in the media, television, in commercials, and because we're living in a society where that's what you see. And again, like you said, shows like this cause harm to children, because when we see our little girls, especially, as you know, with I Am Beautiful, what we're dealing with is little girls of color trying to embrace and accept who they are, as well as their skin tone, the color of their skin, their hair texture, and embrace themselves as being beautiful girls of color. So we need to get rid of these little stereotypes of them in general, of people in general, rather, and consider, because if you think about it, Dr. John McCain, little kids, children of color, are the ones who are harmed by stereotypes more so than children who are not children of color. And I think that's what people fail to remember sometimes in society. Well, this has been a pretty good, really good discussion. Is there anything else you want to add to about race, culture, and identity and the stereotypes we see in sitcoms?
I mean, the only thing I would want to add is the fact that, as you said, like, the fact that we're involved with I Am Beautiful, you know, we want more diversity, but we also want our girls who are involved with I Am Beautiful to see girls of all different color and see that, you know, all girls of different colors are beautiful. And especially a girl that's maybe struggling with the way she looks, her hair is, or the color of her skin, like, we want the girls to say, you know what, I'm beautiful. And you know how I know? Because I saw a dark girl on the movie screen or on TV, and she was beautiful. And you know what? She was not someone's, you know, she was not someone who was locked up in prison, but she was actually a lead character. Maybe she was even like the lead character of a main love interest, you know. And, you know, and that's another thing too. Like, I want to see women of color as the main love interest in shows too. You know,
exactly.
That these women of color deserve love too. And you know what? They can I mean, not that they have to have like an intimate scene, but you know, that they are, people do fall in love with them, even though they are a person of a different race. That's all honesty, because I want, you know, them to see that they deserve love too.
And if,
especially
if
they're at the point where they feel like they're not fitting in.
And you're right, and that's one of the issues, like, you know, we're dealing with girls and I am beautiful. But I think you made an excellent and valid point, because when little girls start seeing that, and especially that the lead character is a woman, browner skin or darker complexion, and she's being depicted in a positive light, where I would like to see them have a darker complexion, even a little girl or a woman who is positive, she's happy, life is good for her. And I really believe, Dr. Jung Kim, that when the media starts embracing browner and darker complexion people, I really believe then we'll see more of a change in society, even though it'll take time. It's just like with the Cheerios commercial. Everybody was in an uproar over the Cheerios commercial showing a mixed-race family. And I think it was beautiful. I think it was more, you know, it was overdue. It was past due. I think if just like people embrace that eventually, people didn't stop eating Cheerios because of it. I think if they start, if these companies, media started embracing them, then society will start to embrace them because people are so conditioned.
Yeah.
And I, like you said, I'm not a TV person either. I just started watching those rerun shows because I wanted to make mention of them in the colorism book. And it's, like my husband said to me today, he said, well, you don't watch television. I want you to just, for 1 month straight, to just try and watch the regularly scheduled shows that come on every evening and then give me some feedback. I told him I couldn't survive it. I can't sit and look at television that long. But I do know enough, like I said to him, and flipping through channels, I have seen enough to know that you don't really see them in lead roles in a positive light. If they had a show, Dr. Jung Kim, that shows a little black girl who was happy, well-rounded, enjoying life, going through everyday things that little girls go through, not a poor little black girl from the inner city, how they always depict it, not portraying a little dark-skinned black girl as coming from a broken home or a drug-fiend mom or an abusive type of situation. Show this little darker complexion girl living life beautiful and being happy. And I'm telling you, I'm willing to guarantee if we started seeing more of that, we'd see a bigger change in how people embrace people from other races, cultures, colors, and ethnicities. Well, that's my take. Anything else you want to add, Dr. Jung Kim?
I would also like to say, you know, there's that one show, I think you've heard of it, called The Mindy Project, and it's by that Asian Indian woman named Mindy Kaling. And I was really happy when that show was produced because I think for the first time it showed that women of color or minority characters, they deserve the extra consideration. That women of color, that we don't have to be in our set stereotype, but we can be in roles where we show that we are funny and we are smart and we are worth getting noticed. And I hope that, you know, this is just the starting point of many other shows where women, people of color, will be able to show on TV how they are smart, funny. They can play dual roles. And especially women, they can play a whole gamut of roles, and they can be beautiful and they can be intelligent. Because, I mean, that's really what I want to see. I don't want to see girls who are, you know, being stepped all over. They feel like they have to be the good girl, or girls who are the next door, the girl next door who, you know, is the blonde girl. But I want to see the next door girl being a person of color.
Exactly.
Because if you look around, your neighbors are not just blonde, blue-eyed, you know, but they are people of color. And so I want that reflection, that you can be the girl next door.
Exactly.
And you can be charming and funny. And you can be so wonderful that people recognize you because you have worth. That's what I want to see. I don't want girls to be like, I don't see who I am on TV, so maybe I'm not worth getting recognized. No, it's like the mistake of TV, of media. I want girls to know not them. They deserve to be recognized, and this is the time. And that's why you and I are so passionate about I Am Beautiful. It's because we want girls to know that they are beautiful. They have strong self-worth. They have to have a strong self-pride. And this is the reason why I think, you know, there is no one else, no other organization like I Am Beautiful. And, you know, I think we're making such waves and we're getting so much recognition because I want to say we're the first ones to actually, you know, really talk about this.
That's right. We are.
So I'm very, and then so I'm very proud of I Am Beautiful and everything that they're doing. We're not saying, you know, girls be good, behave, have good manners, but we're saying you have worth. You deserve to know that you deserve recognition. You can be smart, funny, charming, but you can also change the world.
That's right, exactly. Well said. I agree 100%. And I think we are that change that is needed to make a difference. And I think we're on the right path and we'll tell you more about it later on, guys. But I Am Beautiful is really, really, we are out of this world with exciting projects and things that we're working on, and we just can't wait for you to see them, which will be soon. That's the best I could put it. Letting the cat out of the bag.
don't let all our secrets out.
Yeah, I'm not. I stopped myself really quick. Before we go off the air, everybody, I wanted to let everyone know that through the Colorism Project, what we're starting to do on the third, I think it is, let me see, monthly, on a monthly segment on this talk radio show, we're going to be doing segments that it'll be beginning in August of this year that are going to focus in on the unsung leaders and change agents. The series of unsung leaders and change agents will be about applauding and giving recognition to the many unsung leaders and our change agents who represent the change that are needed that's needed in this world. And unsung leaders and change agents, they're those who work within businesses, they work in their communities, they work individually with organizations, and their focus is to help make a difference in the lives of people of color. However, the world or society as a whole may not be aware of their work, the accomplishments, or their passion to bring about change. So what we're doing with Unsung Leaders and Change Agents, we want you to send in their names, and let me correct myself first, the definition so you understand who they are. Unsung Leaders and Change Agents includes, but is not limited to, people who work in race relations, bringing business opportunities into communities of color, focusing on colorism, community organizing, diversity, multiculturalism focus. They focus on bringing economic wealth into communities for people of color. They focus on education, equality, health care issues, helping people of color reach higher grounds in life, racial unity, social justice, unity as a whole. It could be volunteering in youth. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter how big or how small. It's the fact that this person is trying to bring about change and or they are a leader. So if you know these people, it's going to air on the third Thursday of each month. And during that segment, we would hopefully like to bring that unsung leader or change agent on the show as a guest to talk about what they're doing in the community or society, to hear their story. So if you know of anyone like that, look at our WordPress blog or go to the Colorism Project's website, and there's a page there that talks about unsung leaders and change agents, and send their names in to us with a bio. There's a form on the Colorism Project website that you can fill out. But please send them in, and it doesn't matter who the person is, the walk of life, their race, color. It's about an individual person who is trying to bring about change and make a difference for people of color. So if you're interested, if you know of anybody, please submit their name. We would love to hear from you. Again, reminder, today is the last day, I believe, that the Journal of Colorism Studies is accepting submissions. As I noted last week, I've decided as editor-in-chief that we are going to go ahead and publish the journal And I think Dr. Jung Kim was like maybe 5 submissions that we'll be publishing as a result of the review process. We're just going to go ahead and publish it as is. It's important. And also to let you guys know that we also put out there about our magazine, Complexity Magazine, which we put feels out looking for staff to come on board and join and work with us. Complexity Magazine is our official magazine, and we're excited about it. It was founded in 2013 by Dr. Jung Kim and I, and the magazine is going to focus on colorism, diversity, identity, mixed race, multiculturalism, racial issues, social justice, society issues, and unity. And we're planning to, so far, we're going to publish it quarterly. And we're going to explore new perspectives in all the areas that I just mentioned. So if you're interested, you want to join up-and-coming magazine, Dr. Julie Jung Kim will be our editor-in-chief of the magazine. I'll serve as the assistant editor. And so look at our website, the Colorism Project's website, or look at complexitymagazine.com site. If you're interested, if you want to write, if you know someone in a journalism program in a college, or if you think you just have a good knack for writing and reporting, we want to hear from you. And we'll give you a little bit more details about Complexity Magazine next week. But in the meantime, feel free to explore and come on board. And Dr. Jung Kim, I think Complexity Magazine is going to be awesome.
Oh, I agree. We've already received a lot of interest and people saying, well, you know, how can I be a part of it, please? You know, what can I do? So we're very excited, and definitely give us your submissions and, you know, be part of this exciting, exciting launch.
I am tickled. I cannot wait for it to launch. And we want to try and launch it by the end, before the end of this year, but if we can't, it's okay. We still have early 2015. So come on and join us. I think what we're just looking for now, I think, are photographers, someone to work in promotions, contests. We have marketing people. And we're always looking for writers. If you want to write a column, a monthly column, if you just want to be a guest writer, submit an article, please let us know. And over the next couple of weeks, we will be putting out more information about the magazine and have specific email addresses for you to send your either your resumes to or your submissions for publication. So I think that's about it. Dr. Jung Kim, is there anything else we need to talk about? Are we okay?
No, I think we've covered everything.
Okay, great. I want to thank you again for hosting the show with me. As always, it's a pleasure and interesting and exciting. And listeners, we look forward to you guys tuning in next week. Have a good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to The Dynamics of Colorism with your host, Dr. Donna Maria Culbreth. You may contact Dr. Culbreth at 1-800-905-2136. You may email your questions to drculbreth@colorismproject.com. We're looking forward to you tuning in next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, remember, dare to be different and dream in color. This is Dr. Culbreth signing off for the Dynamics of Colorism. Good night, everyone.